Good, honey. Good. Okay, good. Okay. So let's go through these four steps of purification. As Amayeshi says, you know, we create negativity with our mind and we purify it by creating positivity with our mind. It's not complicated, you know. It's really very practical. And as he says, the power of purification, you know, is the power, the strength of our regret, the power of reliance, the power of the remedy, and the power of resolve. The strength of our own mind engaged in these four steps, basically. If everything we think and do and say produces the person we become, then purification is just another way of talking about how karma works, that's all. And like I said, it's really good to think of it as a psychological process. Don't think of it as like meditation, religion, holy, with mantras and kind of mystical. We make this big distinction between, you know, I mean, Buddhism is just about the mind. The mind. Buddhist philosophy is about the mind. Psychology is about the mind, changing our mind. Our mind creates our experiences. Our mind creates our habits. Our mind can change them. We use the Buddha. We rely upon the Buddha. But this is, again, where it's distinctly different. I mean, this is a distinctly powerful difference between the Christian view and the Buddhist view. And I'm talking not as a criticism, but to show the difference. They're crucial to understand psychologically the difference. Because one has faith in a creator who is the boss of the universe, who created the universe, created the laws, so runs the show. It's pretty evident. Therefore, the concept we have is punishment and reward. If you do God's will, I'm not being negative, I'm just stating it, you know. By doing God's will, you are rewarded. There's subtle, more subtle ways of seeing that, you know, too. But this is the grosser way we hear it, and that's why we misconceive it. And then why when we were religious, we felt that everyone was squashing us and telling us what to do. That's why we gave it up. No one's going to tell me what to do, we say, you know. So clearly, in the purification practices, let's say when I was a Catholic, nothing wrong. I have great respect for my Catholic upbringing. If a sin is doing what God said not to do, then I necessarily must confess it to him. It's absolutely obvious. I mean, even in our mother's household, if I don't do mummy's wishes, it's appropriate I go to her and confess that I didn't do it, and it's appropriate that I ask her to forgive me. This is really reasonable. Even now we can do that. Request forgiveness. But the point is here, it's not Buddha's job to forgive us. He would. He's a nice person. But it's just not the issue. It's not the issue. You don't go to your doctor and confess that you smoked and say, please forgive me and please stop me getting cancer. It doesn't work like that. Same here. That is how it works in Christianity. It is the confessing to God and then God's forgiving you that purifies you. It is not like that here. It is not like that here. It's distinctly different. We can decide what we want. We can do whatever philosophy we want. It's up to us. You acknowledge to yourself the dumb things you did. And you decide to change it because you don't want suffering. You happen to rely upon the Buddha as part of your method. There's nothing wrong. Like you rely upon your doctor to give you the reasonable methods to help you fix your, you know, purify the sugar you've eaten. Of course, you need a decent doctor. She doesn't purify you. You use her methods. The same with the Buddha. Buddha doesn't purify you. You visualize. And we do Vajrasattva like you see tonight. We will visualize Vajrasattva pouring. We'll visualize nectar coming from him. And we visualize purifying ourselves. But it's that's our mind doing that. We purify ourselves by changing our mind. We utilize Buddha. We rely upon the Buddha. We recite the mantra. It is said that these mantras are very powerful. But we do the work. We create the negativity, so we purify by creating positivity. Just like, you know, doing the weeding. You've got to pull out the weeds. Purification is pulling out the weeds. Putting atomic bombs under the weeds. So purification, you know, is the process, as Rinpoche says, we're insane not to do it every day. Because every millisecond of the day, we are continually sowing seeds in the mind. And because we have attachment and delusions, we're not a bodhisattvas yet, then lots of the actions we do will necessarily be negative. It's just the way it is. It might sound shocking to us, but it's just, this is Buddha's analysis, you know. So given that I don't want suffering, then it's logical to finish the day with some purification. It's very powerful psychologically. It's good for one's mind. It uplifts us. So this again, the meaning of each step is really important. The first step, I mean, there are different, sometimes, you know, like for example, Lama Zopa teaches it sometimes putting refuge first, then reliance, then, you know, regret later. But I find this is the most, and he also teaches this way, so I find this was the most obvious in a sense, the most practical. You first have to acknowledge that you did a dumb thing. Then you turn to the doctor to give you the method. Then you have compassion. Then you apply the method and then you decide to change. So the first step is acknowledging the actions we've done that are labelled negative. So again, clear? What's happening? We're okay? Huh? What happened? Who's she talking to? What's going on? Okay, ask her. We'll stop. Let her find her own number. What is the number? Give her the number. Good. Okay. Clear? Can you hear? Shiliana? See? Good. Okay. So often what happens with these things, because it's religion, we kind of gloss over them, you know. Oh, we get all holy, I regret all my negativity, I have such compassion, blah, 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 you know. We've got to understand and analyze and dig deep. Look at the logic of each step. The biggest mistake we take, I think, was with regret. You know, we just don't understand what we're doing. We just think vaguely it means, oh, well, I regret all these bad things I did. We don't analyze what it means. It's so powerful. It's so logical. You don't just say every day, oh, I regret eating sugar. I'm so bad. I ate sugar, you know. I regret eating sugar. Then you get the next piece of cake. Oh, I regret eating sugar. I'm so bad. I eat sugar. Got to analyze the point of it. I really like to say that regret is like compassion for yourself. It's acknowledging. It's owning the fact. And this is, you know, Matt's point. Don't think it's judgment. We have that view. That's why in modern psychology, we're very nervous about using the term good and bad, negative and positive, because we hear it as judgment. That's why, we're scared to judge. We think it's kind of making people upset. That's Matt's point. But we've got to grow up. As I said to him, you don't ever think it's judgment if your doctor says you'll get cancer if you smoke cigarettes. You are happy, she tells you. You are sort of, wow, you're so kind for telling me and warning me, doctor. But as soon as it comes to religion, it is fascinating. As soon as it comes to spiritual, no, excuse me, as soon as it comes to morality and ethics, we hear it as judgment. It's very, very fascinating. And he's just expressing what everybody feels, you know. It is how we hear it. Even if, as he said, he's been brought up as a Buddhist, and he still thinks of it like that. Except he did say he's worried about the other people. This is really, you know, this is how we say it. But regret is a practical attitude. Given that we're in samsara, given that we have these neurotic states of mind, join the universe, people. We're all in it. We're all in the same big deal together, you know. And here we've decided to listen to Buddha's analysis of it and his methods of how to stop suffering. Remember, that's the purpose behind this, is so that you stop suffering. It's a profound attitude. You should be so grateful to the Buddha, not hear it as judgment, punishment, bad person. That's why we find it so hard to acknowledge we do anything wrong. It's very deep inside us, you people. It's very profound, this instinct to want to kind of not be responsible, feel like it's not my fault. This happened to me, and that happened to me, and this happened to me, and that happened to me. And sort of we feel like because of that, therefore, it's okay that I did it. It isn't my fault. It's natural I get angry. Look how terrible Ron is, you know? We're kind of always looking out there for something to get us off the hook. It feels very brutal, putting it like this. But if we analyze this, that's why it takes us a while to simply own. This is my anger. This is my jealousy. This is my negative action. Yes, because of delusions, because of disturbing emotions, that's why we do anything to harm others. You don't harm others because you love them. You don't harm others because you're feeling joyful. You don't harm others out of compassion. We harm others because we're upset and hurt and angry and depressed and attached and jealous and anxious. They're the disturbing emotions. This is what Buddha's trying to tell us. These are why we are in pain. We should be crying with compassion for ourselves, not thinking we're judging ourselves. It's so heavy, you know. So the first step is to acknowledge, given that I'm in samsara, yes, I've got attachment, yes, I've got ego grasping, yes, I have aversion, and yes, I have jealousy, and I have anxiety, and I have depression, and I have a mouth, and I misuse it. We might not go around raping and killing too many people, but look at our mouths. We criticize people all the time. Can't help it. So, we acknowledge to ourselves. Be your own friend, you know. So just think now, be very casual about it, very friendly, very easygoing. Just think now, today, yesterday, this week, whatever you like, this life. Think of some of actions we've done with our body, for example, to harm sentient beings. First level of negative action, the heaviest ones, are those that have harmed others. Things we do based on attachment and jealousy and anger also can just harm us. But there are actions that we do that harm others. Everybody in this room has done something, lied. We've taken things that didn't belong to us. Think about these things. Just remember them. Remember some things. Maybe we had that abortion. Maybe we killed the rats. Took things that didn't belong. Bad mouth, certainly bad mouth people. Criticized people. Found fault. We abused people to their faces. We lied. This is normal human behavior, you know. So think of some actions, just the body and the speech. Some actions we've done. Especially things that you have guilt about, that you're holding on to, that you feel so bad about, and you really feel you're stuck with it. I'm so bad because I did that. Think of some, especially those things, like, you know, cheating on your partner, lying. And much of our pain is the guilt we have, holding this massive burden inside us, you know. Not letting go of it. And not healing it. We've got to heal it. So just to yourself, think of some actions, you know, that you've done with your body and your speech that have harmed sentient beings. And these are the actions that are based on our hurt, based on our anger, based on our depression, based on our anxiety, based on attachment. This is how it is, you know. Just contemplate those things. A couple of minutes, speak to yourself. Talk to yourself. Be your own friend. And we're talking here particularly actions that have harmed others with our body and speech. A few things we can remember. This life, this whenever, something. Especially if it's old stuff that you feel burdened by, you know. Just recall them. You're talking to yourself. Be your own friend. Not your own enemy, please. Then we can see, based on how we were then, we didn't know better. It's like we're ignorant, you know. I think of my abortion, and I was very depressed about it. I didn't have depression normally, but it was something in me that knew it was something negative or whatever. But it just somehow, I did it. The karma was so strong, you know. I got very depressed later. So I think of that. And I don't beat myself up. I think, okay, based on who I was then, based on my delusions then, based on the karma of this sentient being that came running to my womb, this action happened. It's a dependent arising, you know. The person created the karma to get killed. This is an interesting point. Guilt takes all the responsibility. Oh, I'm a bad person. I killed that baby. No, the baby created the cause to get killed, okay? We're in this together. So you take responsibility for your part. I did do it. And and then talk to yourself now. And you know these things I've done? Talk to yourself. I regret this. Because you know why? Because I am sick of suffering. I sowed all these seeds. I don't want these seeds to ripen as my suffering. I know I'm sick of suffering. I know I'm sick of suffering. I'm sick of all this rubbish in my mind. I'm sick of these old habits. And I don't want future suffering. I know that. This is the basis of regret. It's like I'm sick of that suffering. I don't want more suffering. I'm sick of suffering. It's kindness to yourself. Then we think if we've taken vows and have commitments, if we've got a practice, we've got our word of honour and our vows, this is not uncommon to break them, out of our laziness, out of our can't be bothered or whatever. So we regret those. And what's the consequence of this? We know we don't want to be separated from our lamas. We know we don't want to be separated from the Dharma. We don't want that. We want to stay close to the Dharma, close to the Buddha, close to our practice. So we deeply regret having done that, having harmed ourselves. I'm sick of suffering, you know. And then we can imagine all the countless things we've done in this life that we don't remember. There must be trillions of things we've done. We just don't remember them. And absolutely, if you have the view of past lives, we can't even begin to count. Naturally, just naturally, our mind is completely full of these countless seeds of actions we've done in the past, especially as animals. Animals do trillion times more harm because of a trillion times more suffering and trillion times more ego grasping than humans. Because they've got no choice. Their minds are so imbued with disturbing emotions, you know. So all the actions we've done, like killing, you know. A whale opens its mouth for one mouthful of one breakfast in its long life. And 40 million sentient beings go in. Now that's a lot of killing. So we regret, if we can think this way, anything I've ever done since beginningless time with my body and my speech that has left imprints in my mind, has left seeds in my mind, that has programmed my mind, and I do not want the future results. You know, I'm sick of suffering, and I have this marvelous opportunity now as a human to take care of this business. I regret from the depths of my heart because I'm sick of suffering. That's the meaning of regret, because I'm sick of suffering. I don't want the future suffering results. I don't want these seeds to ripen. This is compassion for ourselves, not judgment. It's intelligence. It's accountability. It's grown up. So anything I've ever done since beginningless time that has left seeds in my mind that will ripen as my future suffering, I am completely full of regret. Sick of this. So whom can I turn to? Who can give me methods that I can use to purify myself, to heal myself? So here our doctor is the Buddha. So we visualize above our heads. If you're not familiar, just do your best. If you're familiar, then you know what to do. Visualize the Buddha in this particular aspect from Tantra, the Buddha in the Bodhisattva aspect. Enlightened mind manifesting as this blissful, radiant being sitting on a lotus, facing above our heads, facing the same way as us. Blissful being, enlightened energy, very radiant. If you know how he looks, that's fine. In his left hand, a Dorje and a bell, which represents wisdom. In his right hand, a Dorje crossed over the left, representing the compassion wing. And if we have a spiritual teacher, we think it's their mind manifesting as the Buddha for my benefit. This makes it very personal. So we just think how marvelous to have somebody whose methods we can use, how marvelous to have a doctor we can rely upon. Wow. So the second part, here now we think of sentient beings. Now we think of those we've harmed. Now we regret for their sake. The first step was for our sake. So we think of those we've harmed. That baby you aborted, the husband you cheated on, the rats you killed, the ants you killed, the auntie you bad-mouthed, whoever you've harmed, you know. We know what it's like to be harmed. We know what the pain is like. Well, that's how they feel. So have compassion for them, regret for their sake. I must purify for their sake as well. Think this way. Happily, think this way. Have compassion for them. And now if we're brave enough, think of those who've harmed us. If we can't do that, that's fine. Why have they harmed us? Because I harmed them. What will happen because of their harming me? They will suffer in the future, just like I'm suffering now. So we have compassion for them too, if we can. This is the brave attitude of the bodhisattvas. Because out of our ignorance, we don't realize that our doing what we do brings our own suffering. We don't realize that. This is the basis of the compassion the bodhisattvas have for us. We're totally ignorant of cause and effect. So tragic. So I have such compassion. Purify for their sake as well. And now the third step. Let's just meditate, visualize. Everything your mind does creates causes. So here we're using our mind to imagine. We're using our creative imagination. That's all we're doing, to imagine the Buddha sending nectar. Imagine the nectar filling us. Imagine purifying completely as we say the mantra of Vajrasattva. So all the lamas say that the practices that involve the Buddhas are so much more potent, so much more powerful for our purification process. And Sanskrit sounds have a very powerful kind of, they're very powerful, these mantras. We'll do that meditation one day, where we use the Sanskrit syllables to bless the speech. So we first imagine from Vajrasattva, from his heart, you imagine he sends like this hose of nectar, like arcs around and enters through our crown and forcefully fills us. Imagine this blissful, powerful nectar. And it drives out through all the lower parts of our body in the form of like filthy liquid, all the imprints of all the harm we've ever done since beginningless time with our bodies, forcing out these imprints as filthy liquid that disappears into space, not one atom left. This blissful nectar coming from Vajrasattva's heart, filling us completely, and all the negative actions of body purified. Be so delighted to imagine this as we recite the mantra three times. If you know it, join in. If you don't know it, just visualize. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dido Mebawa Suto Kayo Mebawa. Actually, Lama Zopa says we should say Suto Shayo and Supo Shayo. Have you heard that, Siliana? Yeah, mostly in Koppan. He's saying more like Sanskrit now. He says Supo Shayo and Suto Shayo and Supo, like it's spelt. It's interesting. Suto Shayo and Supo Shayo, not Kayo. So we try and remember. Yeah. He says Vajra as well, not Benza anymore. Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah, he says Vajra. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, if you want to just listen and contemplate, or try and say it. But I think it's really, if you don't know it, don't get. Just I think contemplate the visualization. It's beneficial. Keep your focus. Okay. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dido Mebawa Suto Shayo Mebawa Supo Shayo Mebawa Anurakto Mebawa Sarva Siddhi Memprayata Sava Karma Sutsa Me Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tatagata Vajramami Mutsa Vajrabawa Mahasamaya Sattva Ahung Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dido Mebawa Suto Shayo Mebawa Supo Shayo Mebawa Anurakto Mebawa Sarva Siddhi Memprayata Sarva Karma Sutsa Me Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tatagata Vajramami Mutsa Vajrabawa Mahasamaya Sattva Ahung Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dido Mebawa Suto Shayo Mebawa Supo Shayo Mebawa Anurakto Mebawa Sarva Siddhi Memprayata Sava Karma Sutsa Me Sijam Shriyam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tatagata Vajramami Mutsa Vajrabawa Mahasamaya Sattva Ahung Pe. Totally purified. Imagine this. Full of this blissful nectar. The negative imprints disappeared. How amazing. So again, Lama Vajrasattva so compassionately sends from his heart this powerful kind of hose of nectar that arcs around from his heart, enters our crown and fills us completely. And this time forces up to the top part of our body all the imprints of anything we've ever done to harm sentient beings with our speech. Well, this, of course, is mainly as humans, isn't it? You know, the lying, even if we don't lie, you know, we speculate. We think we know what we're talking about, but we don't. And so we mislead people. Not technically lying, but we make a mess, you know, even our speculating. Our harsh speech, especially criticizing people behind their backs, our most popular activity, I think. This is so strong. Automatically we find fault, you know. And then all the rabbiting on about nothing, just blah, 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 you know, pouring out our mouth. With no interest in whether the person wants to hear it. We do this with our speech, all of us. So imagine all of these imprints of all of this, of all of our lives as humans, disappearing into space, this time going up through the top part of our body, disappearing like filthy liquid. This is Lama Yeshe says, just like when you turn on a tap in the sink, all the junk comes in the glass comes to the surface, doesn't it? Just like that now, forcing up to the top part of the body, disappearing like filthy liquid into space, not one atom left. All these negative imprints of all the harm we've done with our speech. Be so delighted to kind of heal it all, you know. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dido Mebawa Supo Shayo Mebawa Suto Shayo Mebawa Anurakto Mebawa Sarva Siddhi Memprayata Sava Karma Sutsa Me Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tatagata Vajramami Mutsa Vajrabawa Mahasamaya Sattva Ahung Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dido Mebawa Sutro Kayo Mebawa Supo Kayo Mebawa Anurato Mebawa Sarva Siddhi Memprayasa Sava Karma Sutsa Me Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tatagata Vajramami Mutsa Vajrabawa Mahasamaya Sattva Ahung Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dido Mebawa Suto Shayo Mebawa Supo Shayo Mebawa Anurato Mebawa Sarva Siddhi Memprayata Sava Karma Sutsa Me Sidam Shriyam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tatagata Vajramami Mutsa Vajraba Mahasamaya Sattva Ahung Pe. So let me do another one here for those of us who've got vows and commitments. And even if you think, you know, you're a Buddhist now and you don't have many vows and commitments, but if you've been a Buddhist in the past, you've had vows and commitments, you know, and this is, as I said, this is very kind of powerful. So we all don't do exactly what we're supposed to do. We break our vows, we break our commitments, we kind of weaken them. We break our Lama's words, you know, our instructions. This is not uncommon. So we really, go back to the regret for a second, for those of us this makes sense to, really deeply regret the things we haven't done that we wanted to do, the things we haven't done that we've been instructed to do, that we had a vow to do, to commit to do. We really, because we don't want to be distant from our lamas. We want to stay close to our lamas in future lives. We want to meet our lamas from the time we're born this time, not wait 20, 30, 40 years, so we can carry on our spiritual practice. We want to keep close to the holy beings. So deeply regret from the depths of our heart, because of our laziness, because of our fears, our ignorance, our attachment, breaking our word of honour, breaking our vows, breaking our commitments. Not just now, but since beginning of this time. Deeply from the depths of our heart, because we do not want the future suffering. And now imagining nectar pouring in from our Lama's heart, entering into us, purifying every atom of this. Guilt about this is often what we do, but it's wasting time. Guilt is a useless mental activity. It is a useless, useless, self-piteous mental activity. It's like a child. Guilt is useless. But proactive regret, because you're sick of suffering and you want to heal it. Because there's nothing that isn't a dependent arising. And because there's nothing that's not a dependent arising, there is nothing that can't be purified. There is nothing that can't be purified. Ego grasping believes in concrete. This is wrong. There's nothing we can't purify. To be so delighted to purify our broken samaya, broken vows. How marvelous. So imagine this nectar pouring in from our Lama's heart again, forcing out, I don't know, through both ends if you like. Doesn't matter. All our broken commitments pouring out as like filthy liquid disappearing into space full of this blissful nectar as we recite three more times. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Cheno Patita Dido Mebawa Sutoshayo Mebawa Suposhayo Mebawa Anurakto Mebawa Sarva Siri Memprayasa Sawa Karma Sutsa Me Sitam Triam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tata Gata Vajramami Mutsa Vajrabawa Mahasamaya Sattva Ahung Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Cheno Patita Dido Mebawa Sutoshayo Mebawa Suposhayo Mebawa Anurakta mebawa sarva siddhi me prayatsa sava karma sutsa me sitam shriyam kuru hung ha 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 ho bhagavan sarva tata gata vajramami mutsa vajrabhava mahasamaya sattva ahung pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dido Mebawa Sutoshayo Mebawa Suposhayo Mebawa Anurakta Mebawa Sarva Siddhi Memprayatsa Sava Karma Sutsa Me Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tata Gata Vajramami Mutsa Vajrabhava Mahasamaya Sattva Ahung Pe All purified. How amazing. So delightful. So now our mind, I forgot to do all the regretting. Let's do the regret there. Let's regret now. This is the one that's the root of our problem, our intense ego grasping, the clinging to this poor me, then the attachment to get what the me wants, then the panic attack when it doesn't, which manifests as anger, as hurt, as unhappy, as frustration, as annoyed, as guilt, as depression. All of this, this breaks our hearts. And then the jealousy that comes, and then the low self-esteem, and then the arrogance, and all this other nonsense that destroys our minds, that breaks our hearts. We should have such compassion for ourselves, these ancient habits, you know. So we regret all of this from the depths of our heart, because this is the root, this is the source of our pain, and the source of why we do things with our body and speech that harm others, that in fact, then future, harm us. So this is the stuff we regret, all this nonsense in our mind. So from the depths of our heart again, full of this nectar. This time, visualize, this time Bhattasapa, Lama Bhattasapa sends a kind of rays of laser beams of light. Now, I don't know if laser beams of light can bend, but have to pretend they can. So we have from his heart, these laser beams of light arc around, enter into our crown, and the millisecond it hits us. Just like Lama Yeshe says, when you turn on a light in the room that instantly dispels the darkness, the same here, as soon as the light hits us, instantly fills us with this blissful light, instantaneously annihilating all the ego grasping, the attachment, the anger, and all the other nonsense that breaks our hearts. We're so delighted, full of this blissful light. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dido Mebawa Sutokayo Me Shayo Mebawa Suposhayo Mebawa Anurakto Mebawa Sarva Siddhi Memprayatsa Sava Kama Sutsa Me Sidam Shriyam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tata Gata Vajramami Mutsa Vajrabhava Mahasamaya Sattva Hung Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dido Mebawa Sutoshayo Mebawa Suposhayo Mebawa Anurakto Mebawa Sarva Siddhi Memprayatsa Sava Karma Sutsa Me Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tata Gata Vajramami Mutsa Vajrabhava Mahasamaya Sattva Ahung Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupadaya Vajrasattva Teno Patita Dito Mebawa Sutra Shayo Mebawa Supo Shayo Mebawa Anurato Mebawa Sarva Siddhi Me Prayasa Sava Kama Sutsa Me Siddham Shriyam Kuru Hung Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarva Tata Gata Vajramami Mutsa Vajrabhava Mahasamaya Sattva Ahung Pe. Totally purified, full of this blissful light. How amazing. There is no action of body, speech and mind that can't be fixed. We should be so confident about this. It gives us such courage, such enthusiasm, such optimism, you know. So now, fourth step, most important, as Bhavanka Rinpoche says, resolve, the determination to change. So we have confidence, you know, and we go one step at a time. So we have taken vows, and we've got our vows, and many of us have many. So, you know, the fundamental ones, like it's, you must, every day, if you know, we reiterate these now. We say, I will never kill. I will never steal. I will never lie. I will never this. I will never that. And the point about this is, what this is doing is kind of digging deep in our mind that groove, that habit. Every time you play the piano, guess what? You get better at it. And if you have the confidence to say these things every day, that's how you dig so deep that it's changing your mind radically, you know? You're purifying your vows and you're strengthening these habits in your mind. And therefore, you're also purifying the conditions that would enable, that would cause you to normally have no choice but to kill. Once you've taken vows and once you've got purification, it purifies all aspects of the karma. You won't ever have to meet sentient beings where you feel you're forced to kill them. So if you haven't taken vows, then, you know, then think about some of the actions you do. Maybe you're thinking about, well, it might be a good idea to stop killing. Who knows? I might do that. Or maybe think for 24 hours, I will give it a try and try not to kill any sentient being. Try not to lie. Try not to say bad words. And even if you feel it's an old habit, let's say, to badmouth people, to criticize people, maybe you make a decision for 24 hours. Maybe you just like the AA people, the Alcoholics Anonymous, 24 hours at a time. So you say with determination, from this time until tomorrow night, I will not say one negative word about anybody. This is a very powerful commitment to make. And because you've made it, you'll remember it tomorrow and it will protect you. That's how it works. Let's say you're used to fighting with your husband. You're always bad-mouthing him. You bad-mouth your mother-in-law. You bad-mouth the kids. I mean, when life is so intense with so many people, we do this. So, okay, we're here in retreat, bit of space. But you maybe make some decisions. So maybe yourself, you know your old habits, bad-mouthing people, getting angry easily, saying things that aren't quite true, being a bit harsh with people with your mouth. Maybe you kill the ants too easily. You know, think of some things you do that you'd like to try and make a change. And if you just use your vows, reiterate your vows, your commitments, just talk to yourself. Give yourself a few timelines. Make some strong decisions because you're the boss of this. Like I said, you know what, we've got a lot of not much confidence. We often feel we put things off. We're very lazy, you know. We'll talk about this when we talk about the Bodhisattva path more. But we're lazy. We put things off and I'm too busy. I'll do it later. It's one of our biggest problems. So if you've got that as a deep habit, make some decisions to try and change, you know. I can do it. I won't put it off. I will do it. Make some decisions to change our old habits. So then we imagine Guru Vajrasattva melts into light and absorbs through our crown. And then we imagine, you know, that the body, speech and mind of the Buddha, the body, speech and mind of our Lama, our own body, speech and mind become one. They merge. Union oneness, as Lama Yeshe would say. And then just for about a minute, you know, kind of space out. Imagine yourself expanding to fill the universe and no thoughts. Just very blissful, very clear, very vast. No thoughts. Okay, so relax. And be very happy we've done this. Very delighted. Putting atomic bombs on all the old rubbish. Shifting our minds. Giving us courage to know we can change. It's very hopeful. So I think we just finish on that. Let's just finish with these marvelous aspirations. These four immeasurable thoughts. These are the thoughts of the Bodhisattva, the brave attitude of the Bodhisattva. So let's think how wonderful it would be if all sentient beings could abide in equanimity, free of attachment, ignorance, and hatred. May they abide so. This is the courage of the Bodhisattva. I will make this happen. I will make this happen. Please, Guru Buddha, bless me to be able to do this. How wonderful it would be if all sentient beings could be free of suffering and its causes. May they be free. I will make this happen. Please, Guru Buddha, bless me to be able to do this. How wonderful it would be if all sentient beings could have happiness and its causes. May they have them. I will make this happen. Please, Guru Buddha, bless me to be able to do this. How wonderful it would be if all sentient beings were never parted from higher rebirths and liberation's excellent bliss. May they never be parted. I will make this happen. Please, Guru Buddha, bless me to be able to do this. And then we think our little dedication kind of thoughts. The dedication thoughts are just saying all these thoughts we've had throughout the day, as many moments as there have been, as many seeds we planted. So how marvelous, all these virtuous seeds, how fantastic. So we think, may I continue to nourish these seeds with my practice, with my effort, so that eventually they will ripen as we motivate it in the morning in the development of our marvelous potential, so that we really can be a benefit to others, no matter how long it takes. How marvelous. And may bodhicitta, this amazing culmination of great compassion, which we'll talk more about, may it grow and grow in the hearts of all. Jang chob sem chog rinpoche, ma kye panam kye gyu chig, kye pan yam pa me pa yang, gong ne gong du phelba shog. So now we go into our retreat mode, if you can. Just, you know, if you can keep silent, be in yourself, do some practice, write your, you know, do something, read a book, go to sleep. And then as you hit the pillow, remember to try and see your dreams as dreams. And then when you wake up, be delighted that you're still alive, that you're not dead yet, that your karmic petrol tank hasn't run out yet. And make the aspiration to use the day as much as possible. Go to practice, have breakfast, come to the teachings, so that we can get advice, so we can develop our potential, so we can help others. Okay. Grazie.